estamos en vivo. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, you and all, to another episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast, where we talk about Latino everything. That's right. Thank you very much for joining another episode. If you have not taken the time to go and subscribe, to go and hit the notification bell, to go and hit us with a like, go do it right now, because why? You're already here and you are supporting that. It means a lot to us that you're already here. It really does. But however, make it extra special by hitting the like, notification, hit the bell, smash the bell to let us know you're here. And we truly appreciate you very much. We got you another amazing episode. We're doing another solo one because we want to highlight another Latino that has made a huge contribution in the world of music. Yes, that's right. We're going to go and dive into Celia Cruz, or Úrsula Hilaria Celia Caridad Cruz Alfonso, a.k.a. Celia Cruz, born in October 21st, 1925 in Havana, Cuba, died in July 16, 2003, Fort Lee, New Jersey in the U.S., Cuban-American singer who reigned for decades as the queen of salsa music. If you are a fan of salsa music, then you are definitely know about Celia Cruz. You heard the songs, you know what she was like, and you know her slogans. So we're going to learn all about that today. And again, we're going to be exploring the life of a legend, one of the greatest salsa singers that ever existed, Celia Cruz. One of four children, she was drawn to music from early age, and legend has it that her first pair of shoes was a gift from a tourist whom she sang to. In addition of singing, her siblings sang in school productions and community gatherings. So even early in her age, she already started knowing and kind of sort of diving, and that was going to be her path. And even as chiquitita, as early age. Her career began as a teenager when her aunt and cousin took her to a cabaret to perform. Despite her father's wishes for her to become a teacher, she followed her heart and chose music, studying voice theory and piano in Havana National Conservatory of Music. In the late 1940s, she completed an amateur radio show contest called the Tea Hour and quickly gained fame, coming to the as far as the influence of music, and she in the presence of different music and a producer. She was hired as a singer for Las Muletas de Fuego, a dance group that traveled throughout the Latin America in 1950. The lead female singer for La Sonora Matancera, after the lead singer decided to stop performing, Cuba's most popular orchestra at that time, and that skyrocketed her stardom. As the Cuban Revolution raged in 1960, Celia was touring in Mexico and made the decision not to return to Cuba. In 1961, she moved to the U.S. and married Pedro Knight. Her longtime friend, trumpet player Fidel Castro, was enraged by Cruz's decision. In fact, not only that, but she banned her music all the way till his death. So she left Cuba because of everything that was going on. So many of the interviews that I've seen is that if she went back to Cuba, then most likely she was going to be in prison or worse. So her mother and family told her, nope, you can't make it back here. You're not able to make it back here. So she stayed in Mexico because Mexico was one of the ones that was allowing at the time that Fidel Castro took over. They were still kind of sort of allowing people to go perform on a few countries. Mexico was one of them. But at the time, they decided there was no more. And that's when her and La Sonora decided to stay and go to the U.S. To seek refuge. But at the same time, that she also vowed that she would never go back to Cuba if he was in power. So unfortunately, she passed away before that. But even after she had passed away, Castro still did not allow the music to be played at all until he had passed away years later. And then he was able to, people were able to finally actually play her in Cuba because she was banned. her music was banned. There was nobody playing that music. Everything was underground. If there was any kind of music being played, because they were not going to allow the music to be played at all. And they both completed their vows as far as not allowing one to go back to Cuba and the other one to play the music until they were gone. That's talk about, you think you're petty? You think you're, I'm not saying that she was petty, but I'm saying her cost was reasonable because she wanted to see a free Cuba. However, he was amazingly petty because he would not, even after her passing, did not allow the music. Celia joined the Tito Fuente Orchestra in the mid-1960s, and her flamboyant attire and magnetic personality expanded the group's fan base. The group was centered to the new sound developed in the 1960s and 1970s known as salsa, and Celia became a central figure for that genre. Now, Celia became a part of the record label Fania, devoted solely to salsa music. In 1974, she recorded Celia and Johnny with Johnny Pacheco in one of the album tracks called Quimbera, and became a signature song for her. Now, this is like historical as far as what we're going back, because we did an episode talking about salsa and some of Fania. And I mentioned Fania at the time, the record label. Now, salsa is not even commercialized yet at this time. She's one of the ones that's becoming the central figures to pushing salsa to where salsa is now and continues to be. So when we're talking about this part, it's like, it's history, because salsa was not even it yet at that time. They were making a bigger push with different artists, and she was one of the ones that was mainly one of the ones that were pushing as far as salsa and the genre of salsa. That's freaking wild. Now, she was the only woman in Fania All-Stars and more of the few women that was successful in a male-dominated salsa world. She went on to perform with the Willy Colon Orchestra and the Sonora Ponsena with Pepe El Conde Rodriguez. During Celia's 60-year career, she collaborated and performed with many musical legends around the world. She was a true pioneer for the Afro-Latinidad, focusing on the African element in her identity, music, lyrics, dress, and at that time that was not really popular. Now, you hear the term Afro-Latino a lot. Well, before even that term was a thing, Celia Cruz was one of the ones that was already showing this in her lyrics, her performance, her attire, her wardrobe, all that stuff. She was like, it wasn't a wardrobe. It's just like what she felt she needed to be, because she wanted to show her African roots at that time. So that was even before Afro-Latino was a term or more popular as now. Way before that time, she was already doing that, and nobody gives her credit. This is way back in the days. In 1976, she participated in the documentary film Salsa with co-star Dolores del Río and Willy Colon. She also appeared in several Hollywood movies, including the popular 1992 film The Mambo Kings. She earned a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and was awarded the American National Medal of the Arts by, guess who? President Bill Clinton. That's right. Celia received an honorary doctorate from Yale University and the University of Miami, and a street was in Miami is named and renamed in her honor. In 1994, she was inducted into the Billboards. That is crazy. So that's just some of the things that, like, if you're one of the pioneers in a genre of music, that's just like one of the things that kind of sort of you should be part of, you know, getting an honorary doctorate from Yale. That's crazy. So if you don't know what that is like, some universities give certain people for whatever contributions they have done, and not an actual doctorate, but an honorary doctorate, meaning that they don't have their degree, but, you know, because of what they've done, they're going to give them this particular one. I think Kanye West has one from he doesn't really have the degree. He has the honorary, which he says that he has it, but he doesn't have it. So that's why he has a college dropout, right? I'm just saying. Hello, quickly jumping in to let you know. I know that you know you are enjoying the show, so go ahead and subscribe, hit the notification bell, and now back to the episode. And yeah, but she's not the only one. There's many of them, but it's crazy that for the impact, for the music, for the contribution of salsa, she gets to, you know, have not only one, but two from Yale and the Miami University, which is freaking crazy. And again, it's only fair because she's one of the most part of the salsa movement, you know. So over the course of her amazing career, she recorded more than 80 albums and songs, earned 23 gold records, and won 5. Some fun facts about Celia. These are some of the cool fun facts about her. Celia's nickname, you know, whenever you become famous, you get different nicknames, and she was one of no exception. She has a few ones. Now, when you become big, as I mentioned earlier, you get a few ones. So one of the few names that she has is La Reina de la Salsa, La Guaranchera de Cuba, The Queen of Latin Music, La Guaranchera del Mundo, which, you know, all go with the things that she done. Honestly, I mean, amazing. Celia has three streets and other places named after her. Part of Celia Cruz's legacy includes the place that have named after her. In addition to Celia Cruz Square in Los Angeles, there are three streets that have been named after her. La Reina de la Salsa 1 is the iconic Celia Ocho, or Calle Ocho, I'm sorry, in Miami, which is now renamed Celia Cruz Way. And she recorded, as I mentioned earlier, over 70 albums during her epic career. With 70 albums, a lot, like, to record. And so not only does she have 70 albums that she recorded, but, you know, they have different categories as far as, you know, you can, how many copies you make, there's different categories. And hers, 23 of those 70 were gold albums at the back in the days. This is not now. I wouldn't say it's easier, but still, at a place where you didn't have social media, all you had is yourself and, you know, being out there and always, you know, to record that much work, a body of work, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of recording. And if you ever recorded anything, nowadays it's a whole lot easier. You have programming, but who knows the way that they used to record back in the days? If you know what that is, let me know, because I'm pretty sure it was more time consuming than it is nowadays. There's no way that it's easier nowadays to record an album than way back in the 1960s, 1970s. I almost guarantee it. That's still a lot of work that she did. Celia Cruz has won over 100 awards over the 55 plus years of Celia Cruz's career. The legend won 100 awards, again, numerous, such as Grammy, Latin Grammys, Premio Lo Nuestro, Awards, Billboard, Voice of Children Foundation Humanitarian Award, and Artist of the Millennium Award from Telemundo, and a Golden Eagle Award, 2 Desi Awards, and a lot more. She has a Hollywood star. Celia has also a Hollywood star, if you didn't know that, in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And September 17, 1987, and you can visit her in 6240 Hollywood Boulevard is where you will see her star. So
stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you a Caribbean American? Are you looking for a podcast that truly speaks to your culture and identity? Look no further than Carry On Friends, the ultimate destination for all things Caribbean American, hosted by me, Carrie Ann. Dive deep into topics such as culture, heritage, and everyday life through the unique lens of the Caribbean American experience. You'll walk away feeling more connected to your roots. Follow and listen on Apple Podcasts so you'll never miss an episode of Carry On Friends, the Caribbean American experience. Your Caribbean American community awaits.
So salsa is the genre that is a mix of a lot of things, including, the indigenous people with the African roots. And this is one of the few founding people, I wouldn't say would be the founder, but at the time when they were trying to make salsa more popular, Celia Cruz was one of the ones that was there. Not only that, but she was one of the only females in the label pushing that. And, you know, where everybody, all the men were the ones that ran salsa. She was one of the few that stood out. Not to mention the Afro-Latino, that was something that she was talking about way back in the 1970s, 60s, way before that is a thing now, that everybody's Afro-Latino and this and that, which is cool. It's awesome. But it's crazy that we start forgetting. That's why I feel like it's important to do this episode, for the same reason that we can't forget. Like, we literally easily forget a lot of things, right? We really, really, truly easily forget a lot of those things. But she was talking about that way back in the days. And now we forgot it for years, and now all of a sudden we started picking it up. But there was somebody already talking back about this way back in the day. So it's important for us not to forget. There is a bunch of videos about her life. I also seen them, some in Spanish. I didn't look for English ones, or they did. But again, I just feel like we need to do our version, the Global Latin Factor. Not to mention, if you were our salsa artist, your music is spread all over. And that's the reason why she's a Global Latin Factor, because her music is heard all over the place. And to this day, she has some nice songs. Some newer, I wouldn't say newer, but in the 90s, she makes some pretty cool songs that are more upbeat, and it's still relevant music to this day. Like, it's amazing. Her career is amazing. Her start, it was amazing. The fact that she wasn't able to go back to Cuba, and she, you know, there was a kind of controversies with her life about, and there was a lot of people saying she was an FBI spy. Well, not a lot of people. Let me not say that's a journalist term. There's a few people that were talking online of the few videos that I seen. There was controversy with her life because a lot of people say she was either working with the FBI or something like that. But, you know, she was just, you know, doing her part of talking against Castro. And that's the reason why they kind of wanted to tie her with the FBI. And then there's another clip, too, that I seen that she was idolizing Castro, because there was a song, a small song and a small phrase that people just ran with it. Like, at that time when Castro came into power, it was a custom for the people that were in, like, people in general to, you know, show some kind of celebrate whoever was in power at the time, and people did it in different ways. And at that time, I don't know what the deal was, but she recorded a song and part of it said something about Fidel, and people took it to where, oh, she loves this guy or she supports this guy or whatever the case might be. But it's obvious that she did it because she left. She wasn't able to be back. And not only that, but he was petty that for years he would not, even after her death, he would not allow this music to be played, her music to be played, until it was already, she was been gone. And then after that, he was able to play the music. So it's crazy. There's all kinds of other little conspiracies, too, of Celia Cruz that they're online. I don't know. They're conspiracies. I don't know so much. But this is, again, some of the amazing things that this woman did as a Latina, Cuban, that fled and started from humble beginnings to wanting, her dad wanted her to be a teacher too. Her following her heart, she heard somebody heard her singing and told her, like, wow, your voice is amazing. You are going to be making more money singing than I am, than what I make in a month because of your singing. And she realized there was a path for that, and she went with it and never stopped. I mean, when you have love for something, like love to do something, there's like hardly any, there's a lot of, this is just a personal thought of mine. I think that a lot of people say the word love gets thrown around a lot, like it's a whatever kind of word, but a lot of people say they love something, But easily, as soon as one obstacle comes, then it's over. Instead of not only her father was against her wanting to sing, he wanted her to be a teacher. Not only did she have to like go to contests, and luckily she was able to, but she was already continued to do her singing and showing up to different places. And that didn't stop her from continuing to. So that is like a true part of loving something to do, because if you stop doing or pursuing that, it probably wasn't love. You probably had, some kind of moment, some kind of phase that you went through, because there ain't no way it's love if you stop. If you're really for it, you're going to continue to. There's no obstacle that will get in your way. You'll become a bulldozer and run over whatever it is. If you're going to fulfill that dream, whatever it is, I guarantee you, and she had it, and the ones that we previously talked about had it. So reevaluate what you feel like is love, and if there's anything that will stop you, like seek inspiration from this individual that really went for it and really didn't let anything get on their way. Not to mention, people might say, oh, she was lucky that the guy was there. Well, she put herself in that position. She put herself in that contest to be here in the presence of all those individuals to be seen. If she was at home teaching or whatever the case, she would never be there to be able to be that and be able to show her work for those people that so happened to be there at that time. A lot of the times it might be luck, but luck finds opportunity, and preparation is key for whenever you get those lucky breaks so you can take it further. So definitely. Alrighty, this was another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Subscribe. You're already here watching. You listen to the end. Go ahead and hit us up with a subscribe. If you got an opportunity to see Celia Cruz perform or listen to her regularly, leave us a comment. Let us know which song is your favorite so we can check it out as well, and we can add it to our playlist. Also, if you are on the audio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, there's a rating that you can do. Hit us up with a 5-star. We appreciate the ones that already continues to download our audio. Thank you so much. It means a lot. We're continuing to bring more episodes, but we do need your assistance. It does help. I guarantee you it helps us a lot to get those likes, get the comments, hit the subscriptions so we can know, or the subscribe, so we can know that we continue to show movement moving forward. So we appreciate you very much. And again, remember, we are just like you. We are the spice in this melting pot that it is the world. Till next time. Thank you very much for checking out another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Remember to subscribe, hit the bell. It means a lot to us. You don't understand how much you are appreciated whenever you do that. It helps us so much. And we are quickly moving on different platforms of the Latino community so we can bring you a lot more important content about Latinos. And it's all thanks to you. Thank you very much.
Juarez del Abigo, walks like a pero, but in fact he's a flamingo. Coming to Havana and drink from Puerto Rico. On a pirate ship, he don't know where do we go. The birds of the jungle chasing fortune and fame, but Juan is flamingo, is not walking the same. Balague de la flauta and banana.